Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It is a little pocket awareness. We are back. It is reviewing week one, right? Or the Thursday night game. You guys be hearing this a little later after the Thursday night game. So, you know, you guys already know what to do though, right? Hit the subscribe button on iTunes. Hit the download button on Spotify, right? Follow us on Twitter too, ALPA underscore QB1. Also, make sure you follow us, our personal accounts. You got at the Mark John NFL for me. You got at King Manelos for Chris. Also, make sure you go check us out on Instagram, ALPA underscore QB1. Make sure you go check us out on Facebook. A little pocket awareness for Facebook too. So we're everywhere. You know, go ahead and check us out, guys. Make sure you guys, you know, check out everything. Support us. Support the guys, right? Chris, how you feeling, man? How you feeling after week one, man?
Throw it away, Marcus.
Throw it away? Yeah, it's just week one,
right? Throw it away.
It's just week one.
It doesn't count. It's technically the fourth preseason game. Now we're playing a 16-game season. This is what I'm used to.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. That game was a waste. Yeah. I mean, I feel all right to week one, man. I mean, car looked good, man.
Well, yeah, you should.
Car looked good, bro. You look.
That was a game. That's a way to do Monday Night Football. And you had Peyton and Eli debuting on ESPN2.
Yeah,
that's the only way I'm watching Monday Night Football now.
They're hilarious,
that's
bro.
That's the only way I'm doing it.
He was so mad at the crowd. It was funny, bro. It was just hilarious how mad he was at that crowd, dog. He was pissed at that crowd, bro.
Especially on that offsides right there at the end in overtime.
Oh, man. He was so mad, bro. He was so mad. But yeah, man, it was interesting because, you know, the Ravens already always kill teams like 47-3. And I went back and watched the game. I mean, I've never seen a team so prepared for a week one. And I was like, this is why you guys kill everybody by 40 in week one, because everybody's like expected, you know, we're gonna come with some new stuff. You don't know what we're doing. You don't know where it's like we have no idea what we're doing. We're just gonna go play some football and we might figure each other out like a couple weeks from now. No, the Ravens have been getting ready for this game since March. They've been watching tape. Their OTAs is watching tape on you, their week one opponent. So who we got week one? I swear to God, I've never seen it before. I've never seen that happen. They were ready for everything the Raiders did in that first quarter. It was crazy. I was like, bro, like what? And one guy even told the announcer, he's like, yeah, we've been getting ready for them for like 4 months. I'm like, yeah, it looked like it. Yeah, you know, no install? What about the install? There's no. I guess, nope. Man. No installs. Don't you like that? That mini camp. We do like a, you know, we start with sticks, right? Get the install going. You know, they said no. Let's get ready for the Raiders. We've been doing scout team. OTA. Yeah, no, scout team, Derek. It's crazy, man. It's wild. But yeah, it was a bad week for you, bro. You'll be all right. You'll bounce back. You know.
Yeah, we got the Lions on Monday night. Bounce back for sure.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Dan Campbell, bro. He gets that team pumped, bro. They got some fight.
Go ahead. Have some fight without your best corner. You go ahead and have some fight. Aaron Rodgers coming out.
Is their corner even good? Is Okuda even good, man, at this point? Let's
hey, hey, he's a top three draft pick. Like, come on now.
All right. So let's get started, Chris. We got some things to get to, right? I guess, man, right? We got to start with the Thursday night game because it was on after. We got to start with that game. Daniel Jones.
I was impressed, Marcus.
You're impressed by Daniel? You were impressed?
No turnover.
I guess so. I mean,
I was waiting the whole game.
We're going to get back to this football team defense, okay, that, you know, everybody that was so heralded. And that's why everybody's like, you know, on somebody that we're talking about later on. But, you know, Daniel Jones, he came out there. He had a pretty decent game. You know, it's it was final score. We got 30-29 final score off of a bad penalty, man. That was just stupid. You know, that was a stupid,
that was
stupid.
A well-timed jump. He timed the center up and moved and caught himself. That's what it really was. I bet you if he doesn't like sit himself back down, They don't call the penalty. Like if he actually would have went,
yeah, maybe.
I don't think they would have called the penalty.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But, I mean, that cost the whole game. That changed the whole game for everything.
Yes, it did.
You know, but Daniel Jones, he had a good game. I mean, that big drop right there is Slayton, bro. I mean, that was ugly.
Huge.
And he had a touchdown brought back on, you know, the zone read stuff.
Yeah, the holding. Yeah. It was kind of a phantom. It was kind phantom of a phantom hold. Call, too.
I know, so
Daniel played really well.
Yeah, they really should have put like 40 on those boys. I mean, they really should have. They really should have put a 40 on that on the football team. So it was interesting to watch him play well after he had a bad week the week before. I mean, Von Miller basically dominated the whole game, though. I guess he was basically a game wrecker. So he was all over Daniel Jones. And, you know, I think Daniel Jones is not a bad, you know, quarterback. I still thought he has potential for my summer watch. You know, he's a turnover machine. Okay, I understand. He's a turnover machine. I get it. but like reading the field and like, you know, doing things like that and being smart. He's good.
He's definitely made progress.
Yeah, he's made progress there. And you could tell he's learning that crappy offense. He's in the second year of a crappy offense, and he's doing better.
Jason Garrett is running a mess of an offense. But here's the thing, there's just some teams that you just play well against, and Washington football team, this is the first time he's lost to them in his career.
Yeah, and it was on a fluke.
So I don't know. I don't know if we can really pat his back. You know, I think he just has their number.
Yeah, I mean, probably the scheme too. I mean, I don't like Washington's scheme at all. I don't like what they do on defense. They just play too much zone, and if they don't get in pressure, they just get picked apart. And that's what happened with Daniel Jones. You know, like Daniel Jones was able to, I mean, his line actually performed better than it's ever had. And I mean, he looked pretty, that's
that
why he looked
amazing to me.
Yeah, time.
Andrew Thomas looked so good.
Yeah, man. But I mean, people get on tackles too quick, man. I don't know why people get on tackles too quick. Like, it's a rough transition, bro. Like, there's guys, they're going to get some guy who's a 12-year veteran who's been got all these chops and hand movements and
all the pass rushers that they've never seen before.
He's giving you fake hand movements and dipping under you, like, bro. Like, they don't. You know, same thing with corners. See, like corners, like they face wide receivers that are so savvy that, like, yeah, bro, this isn't. The guy's not 19 anymore. But anyways, yeah, he looked good. I mean, they got Will Hernandez over there, and they got some good pieces around there. I think one guy got hurt, Nick Gates. That was pretty bad.
Yeah, but, Nick Gates, he's done for the year. That was a nasty broken leg.
Yeah, but I mean, I if you give him time, bro, and allow him to read the field, he's not a bad quarterback. He's a smart guy. You can tell he's smart by the way he plays. He's just a turnover machine. And then sometimes, you know, when he's under pressure, he just makes the stupidest decision you can think of. So, I mean, as long as you keep him clean, I mean, with most quarterbacks, but I mean, he just doesn't handle pressure very well, like, or he doesn't feel it. He just, you know,
no.
That's why he fumbles all the time, you know, but, what about Tyler Heinicke, bro? Taylor Heinicke, I'm saying his name wrong. Taylor Heinicke, you know, what would you think of him, Chris? What'd you think?
It took him a minute to get going. Because he looked rough in the first quarter. Those three and outs right away, he's holding the ball too long. He's missing quick reads, not getting the ball out of his hands fast enough. And it kind of stuck with him through the game. I was a little surprised at that. He got into a little bit of a rhythm. Mm-hmm. And you can tell by the two touchdown passes that he threw, they were beautiful throws.
Yeah.
So he's capable. The team is 100% behind him.
Yeah.
They're still... Even with that rough game, they're still my pick to come out of the NFC East.
Really? I don't know about that defense, bro.
I do not know about that defense. Team rallies around their quarterback, and this is just a team that's going to play well together. I think the defense will get there. They're just out of sync right now. Yeah. They're going to get a tongue lashing after watching some tape, and they're just too talented. There's too much talent on that defensive front for them to not step it up.
But that's where all the talent is. That's my thing. That's where all the talent is for them. Where else is their talent?
I don't disagree. I mean, you got Landon Collins on the back end, kind of.
I mean, William Jackson,
he's a little bit of a veteran.
Are like good. They're like, you know, they're solid corners, you know?
Yeah, it's a very veteran present.
Yeah.
Back end.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's helpful, but that front, the four, they got to get it together. They showed flashes. I think they can do it all season long with just four. I don't think they need to blitz. And they can I think we'll see some better games out of the defense.
Yeah, I think the defense over there, I think just Montez Sweat is a little overrated. But I think it's mostly just Jonathan Allen and Chase Young. I mean, they're still doing work. They're not slacking over there. I think Montez Sweat is a little bit overrated. But
I kind of disagree with you. Him and Payne, I like that combo. The four of them are impressive. Yeah,
the four of them are impressive, but Sweat is not as consistent as getting pressure. Agreed. So if you double team Chase Young, you feel comfortable because Sweat doesn't have bend or anything. He's just basically got to push you on really fast. So he ain't got no bend. Yeah. So you know if you can contain him one on one, and you can double team Chase Young, and then you just hope to God your guard it's on Jonathan Allen. Handle that. Yeah. Hope to God, but then you might be all right. But but you know, I think go back to Heinicke, bro. He's like a backup. He just looks like a backup to me. That's what he looks like. He looks like a really strong backup that you feel comfortable with. If your quarterback went down for like three games, then he can come in and he can suffice. If you like a really good team, like you'll say, a team with Super Bowl aspirations, right? A team with Super Bowl aspirations, they have a really good quarterback, whatever. You would like a player like him to come in. If that quarterback got hurt for like three games, like the Chiefs could use him if Mahomes went down. No, I don't think Chad Henne's winning three games. I'm just gonna be honest with you. I don't believe it.
Hey, he won a playoff.
Barely.
Be careful.
With the fourth down throw. Barely. They had to go for it on the 48, their own 48. All right. But but they need somebody like him, I don't know if he's gonna lead them to the playoffs. I don't know. He's like a good backup, but he's just so limited that you can't hide the limitations. He's too limited, man. It's not good in my opinion. But
I'm gonna be very interested to see.
He's smart though. He knows that offense like crazy. Some of those passes over the middle, bro. Like if his arm was stronger, sometimes they're like, oh, he threw it in the traffic. Is the read? It's not the read. It's his talent. He's making the read. If he had the arm talent, bro, he'd probably be a legit NFL starter with his mind. But I mean, he's just a great coach, bro.
All right. No, I think he's gonna get some time to really play in the offense, and I think they're gonna do just fine with Fitzmagic out.
Yeah.
With him at holding the reins.
Oh, for sure.
He looked really rusty, in my opinion, and they were still able to pull it off. That interception was bad. He had no business making that throw.
Yeah. Because he trusts McLaurin a little bit too much too. Because this is who he was targeting. It's probably once you get to that point of the game, and there's a lot of one on ones. I mean, they start doubling. They're gonna start they're gonna start keying on stuff. Enough of that, man. Because it was a fun game, but it's not. It was in the.
We had two great primetime games to start the season. Monday night, great Thursday night.
We'll skip past the Sunday night game, right? So we don't even talk about that.
Yes.
The last two primetime games have been great. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
All right, so let's get into some of these quarterbacks we want to talk about. Some guys that I checked out on all 22 got a couple of cool matchups between them. The first one is the Chargers versus Cowboys. We got Justin Herbert versus Dak Prescott. Now, let's start with Dak because Dak was probably the first wave. We never really got to talk about that game and his performance. What'd you think of his performance, Chris, against the Bucs?
He needs to do that every week. I mean, they need him to do that every single week. Yeah. Otherwise, they're gonna go 9-7 this year instead of 8-8. Or what is it? No, that's still the wrong. That's still the wrong number.
9-8, bro. 10-7.
9-8. They're gonna go 9-8.
There you go. 9-8.
We're going 9-8. They can't go 500 anymore.
Yeah. I thought Dak looked really, really good. I don't know. I feel like he looked like Dak Prescott. I don't think he looked any different to me. I think that's how he always looks. He's looked like that for 2 years in a row to me. It was just on prime time against Tom Brady. And he didn't have any like boneheaded mistakes, because usually when they play on primetime, and they play a good team, they get shut down. Like this, like when he threw that 4,900 yard season. Every time they play a good team on national TV, they scored like 10 points. So it was like, what are you talking about?
He did what you were talking about though, that anticipation throw. Like he fitted into another window again to Amari Cooper. That ball, I don't know how he still gets it there.
CeeDee Lamb, bro, he had a couple of them to CeeDee Lamb, like the one that CeeDee Lamb dropped.
Bro, oh, yeah.
You watch that all 22, dog. I have no idea how he fit that in there. I have no idea how he got that in there. No idea. He had this other one that was crazy. He's one of the best quarterbacks with anticipation that I know. And he's like one of the last pocket passers that is like that under 30. Like, I don't know a guy besides Mahomes. I mean, I don't know a guy under 30 that is really good in the pocket like he is. Like, I can't really think of it. They're all a bunch of rollout guys under 30. Everybody under 30 is a bunch of like,
get their legs going.
You know what I mean? Everybody, yeah. that's what every quarterback under 30 is basically at this point. So, I mean, he's like the last of like that guy that could actually hang with Brady because he's not trying to make crazy plays all the time. He's just staying in the pocket and going through his reads and trying to make plays and staying strong. And that's why he can go toe to toe with Brady like that, because that's what Brady's gonna do. Brady was like terrific that game, but also he had the cleanest pockets I've ever seen in my life. That dude, I don't know how he just be. I don't know where he found that line, or I mean, I know why he picked the Bucks, bro. He's basically just looked at everything around him. He's like, well,
hey, look at that roster, man. That's a loaded roster, and they all came back. That's what's even more crazy. Nobody got money hungry. They all did everything they could to stay together.
All those long touchdowns he threw were second reads, bro. Tom Brady, they're all second reads. It's crazy.
I don't know that Antonio Brown actually knows how to run routes anymore. He's just out there in the playground.
that one. Everybody's like, what an awesome sluggo that was. Bro, that's not a sluggo. That was Antonio Brown running a delayed route. And then he realized the play was dead, and he did his thing. He does AB, what he used to do with Big Ben, and just spin around. And then Brady had all the time in the world. Oh. Brady's making a sandwich back there. He's like, oh, there's Antonio. That's crazy what it was. But everybody's like, look at that sluggo route he put on. Like, you guys are idiots, man. I'm tired of this. Anyways. But back to Dak. I thought Dak played really well. I think he's gonna, if his shoulder though, I want to talk about his shoulder a little bit, man. That arm is gonna be an issue, I think, for a lot of the year. I mean, somebody called him Philip Rivers on Twitter.
Oh yes. No.
That was his Philip Rivers moment, which is like a compliment, but not a compliment. But I think that's good. That's a lingering issue, bro. He didn't have the same velocity, and that's why he was trying to super anticipate, because he knew he couldn't drive. He couldn't get that drive on the football. So that's gonna be something to watch going forward as the year goes along. Because
17 games.
We're gonna be talking about this week 10, bro, with that shoulder. I mean, to be honest, in my opinion, like if your quarterback has a bad throwing shoulder, like I think you need to sit him like for a long period of time. Like you can't play with the shoulder, because if he throws it out again, like he's gonna be Andrew Luck
or Cam Newton.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like you don't play with the throwing shoulder, to me, in my opinion. Bad quarterback, like you just throw the season. Like you go on ice, bro. We just paid you all this money. You go on ice with that shoulder.
That's the thing. They paid him all that money, and the expectations are so sky high. This is what happens when you have that kind of a contract. He doesn't get that kind of luxury.
Yeah. I mean,
especially in that organization, that Cowboys organization, they're like, it's now, it's time. We're not going to have an offensive line in 2 years. They're on the clock. They don't have a defense still.
They don't have a defense.
And now everybody's getting hurt, dropping like flies. Yeah. Take the over this week against the Chargers. Take the over.
All right. So let's good segue, Chris. So let's talk about the Chargers quarterback, Justin Herbert, who he talked to some people.
Find the end zone to save his life last
week. You watch PFF PFF College, you're talking about like he looked like the greatest quarterback they've ever seen. You guys are just overreacting. A lot of people were overreacting because they were so low on him in the draft. Like, yeah. Bro, he always had that big arm. I don't know why you're acting like it's not big. Like, it caught you off guard, bro. He made some of the throws that he makes. He made his senior year in Oregon. Like, there's this one throw against Washington where he's getting hit in his legs, and he's getting hit, and he's throwing it this way, and it still goes 30 yards straight in the line. And I was like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I don't know why they're so shocked about his arm talent. Like, you guys were just so into the narrative that he's going to suck that, you know, now you're over. I think they're like trying to overreact because, in my opinion, when I watched it, I mean, he didn't throw downfield a lot.
Right? No.
There was a lot of, you know, short passes. You know, if he did throw downfield, it was like a 20-yard fade. You know what I mean? There was a lot of, you know, he had one. I mean, that's what I'm saying about Washington's defensive line. He had a lot of time. I mean, which is good for him. You know, he had a lot of time in that pocket. And, I mean, and he still showed some, in my opinion, I still think he showed a little bit of accuracy issues, like the pick he threw. That dude was wide open. That dude was wide open, bro. Like, you watch it all 22. It's a perfect opening play design, and you know, he just missed it. He just missed that throw, and that's what I'm talking about, like accuracy issues. He missed a couple of throws. He missed a throw inside the five. You know that. You know, he kind of just some ugly mechanics, and just I don't know if he's trying to throw a back shoulder, I guess, I think, but he still missed. Like, it was an ugly attempt at it. So to me, he looked the same. I mean, he just looked like he was in a you know, he's playing the football team's defense. They play a lot of zone and they couldn't get any pressure on him. And he's a smart dude. He's not an idiot. He's one of the smarter quarterbacks in the league, I think. So he's gonna be able to pick somebody apart if he has all the time in the world and you're just playing zone back there, especially as Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Mm-hmm.
They both ate.
Exactly. And they're winning. And you know, it's not gonna be that hard for him. But I think like the pure like quarterback play, you know, I mean, it was good, but I mean, it wasn't like, I mean, everybody's freaking out about the hole shot he threw, which I mean, that was a crazy throw, right? He threw like a crazy hole shot right before the cover two, right before the safety got there. It was crazy. But I mean, yeah, I mean, but that was like the longest throw he threw all game. and I don't know about that offense, bro. I don't know about that offense, like long-term. Like the way that it was very like vanilla.
They lost Bulaga.
Yeah, and they lost Bulaga. The offense was very vanilla. You know, the Giants almost put 40 on this team, and these guys barely put 20 on them, and could kind of struggle to get points a little bit. You know what I mean? Struggle mm-hmm. to continuously move the football because sometimes, like if it's third and six, like sometimes he'd throw it 2 yards. And it would, I guess I'm saying, I don't know if people are watching sometimes, but I go watch some of this stuff. Like it's a narrative that people keep pushing. Like it's a perception or a narrative. You know, it's weird. And then you over elevate a player. And then later on, like, if you know, the way that offense looked, it didn't look very creative. if later on people start to figure out the offense and you're like trying to, you know, make excuses and then you're going to start blaming the offense, you know what I mean? It's all right there in front of you to me. I don't know. I think that it's going to be an interesting future for him, bro. I'm interested. We'll see.
Agreed.
People are gonna be making excuses for him though. They already love him. They like they think he's a
they attach thing. Very quickly.
Seriously, bro. Like he gets so much hype, bro. So much hype. Everybody's like, don't look at the numbers.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like the last drive, he was really good. I'll give him that. But like the rest of the game, he was just up and down. It wasn't that impressive. It wasn't like, oh my God. But the last drive, he was really good. I'll give him that. That last drive where he had to, like, grind the clock out. I don't know what Washington was doing on that 3rd and 16, though, bro. We used to do it on 22. It's like they're just giving him the first down. Just like, hey, come right here and stop. 16 yards. Easy read, bro. You know, so we'll see, bro. I don't think he's going to have a problem with the Cowboys, man. I mean, they play a lot. The Cowboys play a lot faster than these two, but Tom Brady was having a day. And
well, they're
and they get no pass rush
so either. Banged up. They didn't have a pass rush with Lawrence. They're certainly not going to have one without him.
Nah, not at all. All right, man. Let's get to this next quarterback. We got Jalen Hurts, who is everybody's super hype about too. We got Jalen Hurts. You know, he's going up against the 49ers this week. Jimmy G trying to hold off Trey Lance. He held them off for 1 week. See if he can make it to the next. But let's talk about Jalen Hurts. I watched a little bit of Jalen.
I watched the game live too.
You watched the game live? What'd you think, Chris? You think that
I saw a running back, not a quarterback.
Oh, look at that.
I'm sorry. Never, he didn't stay in the pocket.
I saw a college quarterback.
I saw the kid that was playing at Oklahoma last, 2 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
That's fair. Yeah.
He bails the pocket every second that he can get.
All the time.
And for him, it works. He attacks the line of scrimmage, threatens the throw, but he's going to run because he's better with his feet. But, I didn't see an NFL quarterback out there. I saw a bad defense get abused.
See, I wouldn't even say that they abused them. I just think that the Eagles defense played so well that they kept getting good field position. And they kept getting good field position because you watch the game, it's like really slow. It's like a slow pace, 32-6. Because it's not like they dominated them. It like rolled through them. Yeah.
You are not wrong. The Falcons offense couldn't stay on the field to save their life. Like they had, all right, we got a drive going. Offensive pass interference, punt. What the hell just happened?
Yeah, yeah. And as I said, it was a slow 32-6 because, you know, it wasn't like they just were going up and down the field on them. You know, that was kind of my thing.
No, they were not.
So, you know, when I watched it, I mean, it was just insane. It was like his air yards was like 3.7. And you could tell, like, they just threw screens all game. Screen, wide receiver screen, wide receiver screen, 3-yard pass.
Yeah, those were his only throws from the pocket. Everything else screen, was like any 5-step drop or 7-step drop. Like,
I don't think he did one of those.
Bootleg. No, they turned into bootlegs. Like he just bailed. He bailed on.
Bro, he bailed so many pockets, bro. He just like he would like step back and then, like as soon as he hit his drop, he would bail.
You're not wrong.
It was crazy. Like nobody's coming. There's nobody there. What are you bailing for? And like one time, this is what I love with quarterbacks that bail do. Is, you know, he had a read, right? He had Devontae Smith open on a quick hitch, right? And he bails the pocket instead of just throwing it to him in the pocket. He bails the pocket, rolls, it makes it look cooler, and throws it to Devontae Smith anyways. Oh, yeah, that looks cooler, I guess. I mean, nice throw on the run. I mean, but you could have stepped your hitch and just threw it to him and then, you know, got the same gain.
Yeah. But you might have gave him a little bit more time with the football too.
Yeah, you know, it would have been on time. You know, defense would have shifted.
He can make a move.
He can make a move.
It might turn it into a big gain and hit while he catches.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, now it looks like a cool highlight reel for you. Look at him. Yeah. You know, because people love when a quarterback gets out the pocket. It's like their favorite thing to show. Quarterback gets out the pocket. It's like the only highlights you see on Twitter anymore is a quarterback. You never see like a great pocket pass. Yeah. It's always like a quarterback.
You're so right. You are just so right. Dude, he's completely right.
It's all every time.
He's got to be on the move. To always do his right. The only guy that throws to his left isn't playing this year.
Yeah. And he only bails to his right too. That's what he only leaves the pocket to
every
his
single
right.
time. He never went left.
He never went left. Week one. That's all I gotta say. Week one is deceiving.
I think they're in trouble this week. I think they're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, with the Niners.
Doesn't matter that they're home. I think the Niners are gonna be pissed because they blew a 41-17 lead.
Yeah. On their
Jalen Hurts, he's in trouble. He's in a lot of trouble this week.
Yeah, I think so too. You're not gonna be able to do whatever. They're gonna be ready for those screens, dog. They're gonna be ready. Mm-hmm.
They're not. You're playing against a much better defense this week.
The credit I will give to the Eagles, though, I think that coach is a good offensive coordinator. I think he's a great play caller. I think he knows Hurts' limitation,
He kept them. They couldn't figure out what was coming defensively. Yeah,
he's good, man.
No, I would agree with you. I agree with you.
I mean, because he basically built the offense around Jalen Hurts' skill set. I just don't think you can do that for 17 games and win like 11.
Yeah, they got to rely a lot more on Miles Sanders in order for there to be success.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Did they trade out again? Did they take Justin Fields or did they take – they took Devontae Smith at 10, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, they traded.
No, they took Smith at 10.
They made a trade. They moved back. They moved back, but it wasn't with Chicago.
Oh, who moved up to 10?
I can't remember.
Anyway, who cares? Anyways,
I can't remember.
Yeah, but
maybe
yeah.
It was Chicago. Maybe they did make that trade with Chicago.
Wild. No, the Giants made the trade with Chicago, but I know that the they took Devontae Smith. You know, they might have took a 12, actually. Never mind. They took him at 12. We're just talking about our ass here. Sorry, guys. Anyways, all right. Next, let's go to the next quarterback. That's enough of Jalen Hurts. You know, when you checked him
Jimmy
out,
G. The Niners,
Jimmy G. Jimmy G's not gonna have a job in it, like 2 weeks.
No, he's gonna be more likely to keep his job than Dalton's not gonna last. Dalton's not gonna last past this week. They're gonna get smoked this week, and Dalton's gone. It'll be Justin Fields in week three.
You think the Bengals are gonna smoke him? I don't know. This is the Andy Dalton revenge game, bro. I don't know what you're talking about. He's
not getting any revenge.
It's an Andy Dalton revenge game.
That team does not have his back. They don't have his back.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't got the love for him like the Washington football team does for Taylor.
You're right. And Burrow looked pretty good. He actually hit a deep ball for once. That was nice.
Yes. He I think that connection that he's got with Ja'Marr Chase might take it to another level. And T. Higgins on the other side.
Yeah, I know. He's got good players over that.
He did get sacked. He did get sacked five times, but
that's because he holds the ball a long time. He does, bro. Yeah. He does. He holds the ball.
Well, he can't get away with that against Hicks. He's gonna hurt him.
Yeah, and you know,
I think the Bengals win.
They're probably gonna win that game. But I don't know how good the Bengals are.
I think the Bengals win it. I think the Bengals win it, and the Bears give up on Andy Dalton, and it's the Justin Fields show going forward.
It's just that Ja'Marr Chase can actually track Joe footballs. You know, his football is in the air. Nobody else can. So he's got that. He's learned it, I guess. All right, let's talk about Mac Jones, his performance. He's going up against Zach Wilson, you know. Mac Jones. Had a impressive, you know, start. I mean, he almost pulled out a comeback win.
They should have won. Harris fumbled that ball inside the 15-yard line. That should have been $1,300.
Appreciate that fumble, Damian. I had the money on them Dolphins, bro. My 300 dogs. Shout out Damian Harris. Shout out Damian Harris. But he did, man. He looked poised.
He looked good.
Look poised.
He shouldn't have looked that good in week one. He should not have looked that good.
See, I think what a lot of it is these days when these quarterbacks that look better early on than the other ones are just smarter. They just pick up offenses quicker. That's Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's like one of the smartest guys in the NFL, just like intelligence wise. So that's why he's able to go in there and pick up an offense quickly. And he's able to play better because he knows where things are because he can digest information quickly. And that's why
Time, like you nailed it with the vanilla offense that the Chargers have. There's not a lot of complexity in what Justin Herbert does. And that's why he's having this success. I'm not going to say they dumbed down the offense in New England, but they don't have the best receivers. Like you're literally, it's almost like college where you're scheming the throws.
Yeah.
So I would say we'll see how complex the offense ends up being for New England, but they ran the ball a ton.
Yeah. They did run the ball a ton. I don't think they made it too simple for him.
No, I would agree. I wouldn't say that it's dumbed down by any means, but I wouldn't say that it was something that he really needed to work on. I mean, Cam wasn't running a complicated offense last season.
No, he wasn't. I think one thing to watch with Mr. Mac Jones that you just got to keep an eye on. And I think it's he doesn't throw down field, right? And then you remember I talked about the Senior Bowl. We're talking about this, Chris.
Check down.
He's checking down at the Senior Bowl. Okay. So, I mean, his average depth of target last week was 6.5. And on film, you know, he's a rookie. So I know, when he misses a read, when I watch rookies on film, you know, sometimes they can miss reads. I mean, you know, Russell Wilson misses reads all the time. It's like in year, like 13, it's like year 13. So, but you know, it's different to me when you're missing a read, like if it's on the backside and you're reading the field over here and the read's over here, right? And you're reading the field and you don't come to it like fully, you know, I know a lot of fans, they don't understand how a quarterback can like has to actually move his body to throw
to go through the progression. Yeah. to right. It's not a video game where you
just can't press the R
button that's on the right side and you're running to your left. Like it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way. But it's different to me when I see that you're staring right at the guy. When you're staring right at it, and I can see that you're like hesitant, and then you check it down. That's when I'm like, oh, okay, like there's something wrong there. Like, you know, so that's something to, for me that I'm just watching. You check it down at the Senior Bowl with no pressure, right? There's no pressure at the Senior Bowl. I mean, come on. And then he's checking down a lot in this game. I mean, this first preseason game, he's checking down a lot. It's just something to monitor. It's just monitoring like how he actually, you know, plays quarterback, you know. Mm-hmm. But you can make the case that, I mean, he really doesn't have any deep threats, even though, I mean, he has Nelson Aguilar, and Nelson Aguilar, like, was an awesome deep threat last year. So it's interesting that thought process
and how
he is, but.
It's almost more calculated. I think they're running the offense that way on purpose at this point.
Okay.
With it being week one, with him being a rookie, with him really understanding what he's doing and looking good in what he's doing. Maybe it's just like they're going to slowly roll the game plan out and stretch the field as the season continues with him. So that could very well be a thing.
But yeah, he played well though. I mean, it was good tape. You could tell he's really smart. You know, so
yes,
he kept that offense on schedule. He didn't make any mistakes. He didn't like throw in the traffic or anything like that. So he kept them on schedule and they played good defense and they're in that game and they're about to win. So I mean, for a rookie, it doesn't get much better than that, in my opinion. Zach Wilson, on the other hand, he just got his butt kicked repeatedly. And
he's gonna get his butt kicked again. He's gonna get his butt kicked again.
Over and over and over again.
Rookies do not play well against a Bill Belichick defense. He knows how to expose them and abuse them.
Yeah,
The Patriots and the points this week.
Yeah, when he got some time, I mean he looked like he had a go-to wide receiver that got open when he had time. Let's just say that. But you know all the things I talked about that we saw on tape. I mean, it all showed his first game that pocket presence, bro. He just doesn't have that feel of it. And then he's getting his butt kicked. And then he's just like throwing pick. He threw some bad picks.
He's going to be in a lot of trouble because he lost his left tackle. So,
yeah, he's going to be in a lot of trouble.
Dislocated kneecap.
Have you ever seen that? Yeah.
Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen a dislocated kneecap before?
I haven't. And I think that sounds terrible.
It flips upside down.
That sounds gross. Sounds terrible.
It's gross. And Becton got lucky because no structural damage. Like, they just popped it back into place. It's so disgusting. But yeah, he's going to be without his left tackle against the Bill Belichick run defense. And what we saw last week against Sam Darnold's revenge game, it's not going to be pretty for Zach this week.
No, it is not going to be pretty for Zach. But, you know, we'll see, man. Let me see if he survives being a Jets player. Because the offense he's in is not bad. I mean, it's a pretty good offense. I mean, if they can get him some time and they can get the play action and the run game going, they don't have a run game right now. If they can get that going, I think he could grow in that offense. I think he can grow with Corey Davis, and him and Corey Davis can build a connection and they can do some things together. So, all right. Who else we got? We got another matchup. We got the Ravens versus the Chiefs. But, you know, first let's get to Tua and, you know, Bills and Dolphins. You know, I got a chance to watch Josh Allen today, you know, getting ready for the Raiders versus Steelers. And I watched Tua. So what did you think of Josh Allen's performance? Did you watch that game? Did you get a chance to see it?
I got a chance. I I was watching it live, and then I blinked, and then the Steelers had control of the game. And I didn't really understand what was going on. But then I was thinking through it. Josh Allen played like hell. I thought he was awful.
Yeah.
After like spending time and looking back on it, he did not play well. And what it sounds like, and I'm pretty sure this is what you're about to tell me, is he was missing some throws that like he loves. Like he missed a lot of deep passes.
Yeah.
And this is the man that loves to go downfield.
Yeah, he had this one read where he read it right, man. He got Fitzpatrick to take Beasley and then left Emmanuel Sanders wide open. And he just missed it. But I will say this, man, the Steelers had an awesome game plan. They basically what they did is they played too high and they doubled Stephon Diggs and they doubled Cole Beasley and said, you're going to beat us with Gabe Davis and Emmanuel Sanders. So figure it out. And he had nobody to lean on. He was like running out of the pocket a lot, and then they were trying to keep him in the pocket at times, sometimes. So then he would like make a mistake, and then and then when he made the right read, he missed a throw. So they were all over him, and the Steelers are just, they throw everything at you. So they're throwing, they didn't blitz him technically. They didn't, cause they didn't send like five, but what they would do, they would put like TJ Watt, middle linebacker. Right. And they would have three guys at the line on the off front. And then they would have a guy drop. Right. They would send TJ Watt and Cam Hamer on a stunt with the middle linebacker and then send a nickel corner off the. Yeah, it was ridiculous. They were doing some crazy stuff to Josh. they said, run the football. That's what they said to them. Go ahead. We're going to play too high all game. We're going to play cover two man and play too high. And we're going to let Minka roam all over the field. And, what are you gonna do, Josh? And the Bills were not ready for that. They weren't ready for that at all.
It's gonna be really interesting to see if that's the game plan for teams going forward, to double Beasley and to double Diggs. Mm-hmm. I think that's the smartest thing to do, because Josh Allen, if he doesn't have those two guys with their catch radiuses, he's back to a sub 60% completion percentage.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm hoping a guy like Gabe Davis on my fantasy team gets to ball out because of all of that, because they're certainly not going to run the football.
Okay. Gabe Davis is getting 810 touchdowns. All right, so I said at the beginning of the year, bro, he's getting 810. He's getting 810, bro. He is. He's a good fantasy stash to me. He's growing. He's getting ready. I think next year you're going to start him in the starting lineup. You're in Dynasty. You keep him in Dynasty, you might be in the starting lineup. Because Diggs that contract, and then he might be that dude.
I picked him up too, bro.
I'm stashing him. Yeah. I'm in Dynasty League. Like, you are getting stashed, because I think in a year, you're going to be starting to take some of Diggs' targets. I see it. I see the future. I think that was more the problem with Allen. I think he'll be fine. I don't think everybody's going to be able to play them the way the Steelers are. You gotta have the personnel for it.
That's a really good defense.
You gotta be able to rush four and get a lot of pressure with four, because Cam Hayward was abusing those guards. He was abusing them. It's like basically just running them over. And then, you know, TJ Watt was abusing the tackles. And, you know, it was a tough game for Josh. You know, it wasn't a easy game. And he started to get rattled. He got rattled to the point where he was doing things where I'd never seen him do, like, which is like miss guys open downfield. Like, he always has his eyes up. I mean, that's basically what he never has his eyes down. And he was starting to drop his eyes and he was starting to check down quickly. Uh-huh. So they kind of got him out of his game too, you know? And I mean, like, Chris, I mean, there's guys like screaming down the middle. And I've like Josh Allen, he's always looking up, you know, he's never like looking to check downs and stuff like that.
No, he wants that ball down the field. He wants to push it.
Yeah. And he was missing them, which tells me that they had him shook. He was shook.
I believe it.
He was shook. And then back to just this game, which I still think the Bills end up beating the Dolphins, because the Dolphins are going to do this. They're just going to play cover zero. So there's
that's going to be an angry Buffalo team.
Yeah.
That's going to be a very angry Buffalo
team. Yeah. And this will say they're going to play cover zero and try to just, you know, Brian Flores is not going to change. He's not going to try to do what they did. He's just going to, I don't care. I'm going to just blitz you and see what you got. But
Buffalo's only getting 3.5, I think.
Yeah. They got 3.5. Uh huh. Over under 47.
Buffalo and the points.
Yep. The Dolphins, too. Just get to it real quick. And then we'll get to the Ravens and Chiefs, and we'll kind of round this out. Maybe talk about some of the games. But Tua. I thought Tua looked like he was in an offense that was very simple. Like, I don't know what they, I don't know what they're doing over there.
Well, he's still trying to learn playbook.
Yes. Such a great pocket mover, though, dog. It's interesting. He's such a great pocket mover, man. He like when he's like moving in the pocket, he like moves his feet, gets his feet set again, and he's like, he has some great, great pocket movement. That was kind of what I enjoyed watching him. But he has some good throws. I just think the offense is weird. It's like not, it's they're like trying not to be explosive. Like I think they're trying to run the ball a lot with Miles Gaskins, you know, and they don't push the ball down the field. I mean, they got Jaylen Waddle, and they're not doing like serious, like deep passes. I mean,
no, yeah, he's running crossers right now.
Yeah, he's running crossers and stuff. And the one deep route he ran, he had to catch it back shoulder because it was kind of like a little underthrown. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what their plan is with him, or like if they're going to be able to push the ball down the field, or if that's just maybe a limitation to just had. He can't do it, you know. But I don't know about him, bro. It's going to be interesting to see how he goes forward. I mean, I don't think he's going to be like awful, but I don't think he's ever going to be like a top 15 quarterback at this point. Like, I don't think he's, you know, he's like a Tyrod Taylor type. I guess that's what
I like that comp, man. I like that comp.
You know, like, because, you know, Tyrod Taylor, he played good this week. You know what I mean? But, you know, he's not going to.
Yeah, against the Jaguars and their brand new head coach and their brand new quarterback.
Yeah, which I actually thought he looked good though. I thought he played. He
started to get comfortable, but yeah. I think I don't know if he looked good or if that was all garbage time. They got up on him fast. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that defense was really giving their all. When he started to look good.
That's a 2-15 team. So we're going to be talk about a lot of garbage time and talking about how Trevor Lawrence looks good in garbage time. That's what we're going to be talking about that a lot. So, you know, I still thought that he looked like he's going to be like elite to me. Like just even like even the passes that he missed. Like, I don't know if he's ever going to win in Jacksonville. That's totally different. That's a different story. But he looked like if he actually had a good coordinator, which he doesn't have, and he had like people that can get open, he'd be really good.
I like his core receivers.
Well, let's be fair. Marvin Jones.
I think they'll all develop.
Yeah, DJ Chark can get open too. I'll be fair. DJ Chark can get open. He's dealing with injuries. And Marvin Jones, he's getting older though. So, but I still think like he had good poise. And I think he's going to be the type of guy that's going to learn by throwing picks. He's going to be like Peyton Manning. I kind of like, because one of his picks was, I mean, it was a smash concept. And he threw the corner route and he just should have threw to the hitch. I mean, that's something he can learn, you know?
Sure.
And I like his demeanor. Like, I watched Mike Dupp. I like his demeanor on the sideline when he's talking to those guys. He's like, he basically told them we're gonna suck this year, but we're gonna get better every week. And I kind of like that. So I like that. Yeah. I don't know. I liked him. I liked him in preseason. I don't know. I think he's gonna be really good. He's got some poise, bro. I think he's gonna be really good. Anyways, back to what we're talking about. Well, that's enough about Tua. Anyways, let's get to the Ravens and Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean Tua was not all boring, that important. Let's be honest here. Buffalo's gonna roll them. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine, right? Chiefs, Ravens. Now, oh man, the Ravens. That was a big loss for the Ravens, having to face the Chiefs. Oh my God,
that was a big loss for the Ravens, and it got worse for them after the game too. Like they might not have Ronnie Stanley this week.
Mm-mm. Lamar has nobody to throw to.
I don't know. I kind of like what he's doing with Sammy Watkins. Were your boys taking away Mark Andrews in the middle? Was that like the game plan?
Well, it's cover three, man. Don't let him
get open in the middle.
So they got the safety, you know, taking away that guy in the middle. Yeah, the deep middle, those seams and stuff like that. And Morris is fast, bro. They basically had to win outside and get some stuff going outside, and he wasn't able to get too comfortable either because he was under pressure so much. So
yeah, he was under pressure a ton.
Yeah,
he was. But man, is he still? He's still incredibly gifted. Yeah. I love the way that he moved in the pocket because he was bouncing left and right and forward and backwards, and he wasn't leaving the pocket until last second. Anybody that calls Lamar a running back is dead wrong. The guy doesn't want to leave the pocket. He wants to throw the ball.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, he missed some throws and stuff like that, but he had that, that great throw to Sammy Watkins. I mean, that was clutch. That was, I mean, that was in the fourth quarter, 17-17. That's a clutch throw. And he was clutched in that whole time. I mean, he was matching Carr, you know. I mean, he just he had that fumble late, right? But
two of them, right?
That, yeah.
Two
of them? Yeah, but I mean that was but even then when the Raiders tied the game after the first fumble, I mean, he still went down the field, had a great throw and scored, and Carr came down and scored, and then he led a field goal drive, right? And then and then Carr came back. So I mean he was matching Carr drive for drive, you know. So sure. I didn't think his performance was that bad as people were like getting on him about it. Everybody's acting like he was under 50% passing, and people were acting like, I mean, come on, guys. I mean, he looked like a player that, you know, doesn't have an ultimate number one and, you know, has a good tight end. It's not an elite tight end. I wouldn't say Mark Andrews is elite. He's good
close.
Tight end. I mean,
he's close.
He's close, but he's not fully there.
Waller.
Yeah, he's not Waller or Kelce or Kittle. I mean, those guys take over games. I mean, I think that's kind of the difference between Mark Andrews. I don't see Mark Andrews like taking over a football game. Like I've seen Waller go for 13 and 200. Like, you know, it's different.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Waller on those crossers was just deadly.
Yeah, he's so fast, bro. It's ridiculous. You know, I still thought he played better than the people try to give him credit for. So, but I mean, he's going against Mahomes, who did his thing again, where, you know, he's down 29-20.
I've been waiting for this.
Okay, all right. What you got, Chris?
You know that touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill at the end in the fourth? Yeah. Was that in the fourth quarter?
Yeah. Uh huh.
Marcus, he just threw the ball up for grabs.
Yes, he did.
That was a Brett Favre throw. And the defender was so scared of how fast Tyreek Hill is that I don't know if, like, did Tyreek, like, overrun it on purpose? Like, was that a conscious decision? Like, I'm just going to keep running, and this dude's trying his best to keep up with me, and I'll slam the brakes, take the ball, and go the other direction because nobody's over there. You think that was conscious, or do you think it was, like, he's booking it, and he sees the ball go up and goes, oh, damn, that's a bad throw?
I think it's two parts to it. I think, you know, we don't talk about enough how tracking the football is a talent. Tracking the deep ball in the air is a serious talent. Like DeSean Jackson, nobody does better than DeSean Jackson. That's why he like the DeMichael Vick throw, you know, he threw like 60 yards. He was able to track the ball and speed up and catch it because he has like this awesome innate skill of tracking the football. And Tyreek Hill does too. And I think when he threw it, Tyreek Hill is able to track the football and he could stop so fast that he's like, okay, I can see that ball coming short and I can run as fast as I can. And since I can stop so fast, I can just stop. Thanks God.
It makes me nervous about Patrick Mahomes because this is what I was worried about with him coming out of college. I thought he was going to be very turnover prone.
Me too.
And when he makes throws like that, it leads me to believe that it's coming. The turnovers are going to come. But then I sit here, I go, he's got Tyreek Hill. He's got Travis Kelce. He's got a running back that's incredibly talented. Like, so he can get away with these major mistakes because of the people that he's thrown to.
Yep.
Like, what are we looking at here? A 3-year window? Tyreek's got to get paid next year, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, Kelce's 32, bro. There you go.
So it's like two seasons, and the band is not getting back together.
And Travis Kelce isn't Tony Gonzalez, which he's going to high point the football until he's 40.
Right.
You know, Kelce's like a finesse. He's a finesse tight end. He's like he likes to wiggle and like run routes like a wide receiver. And when he starts to slow down, he's not going to be as effective. That's why Tony Gonzalez played till he's 40 because Tony Gonzalez was just a jump ball.
He was playing basketball out there, boxing out linebackers and safeties and just going up.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
That's why guys like Antonio Gates have careers that they have.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So. He's always dependent on wiggle, so that's gonna be his problem going forward. Is the wiggle gonna be there for him to keep making plays? You know, so I mean that's their window, bro. I mean, of course. I mean that's why he gets away a lot of his throws. I mean, because he's got those two guys, and both of them, they know that if I keep running and I keep moving, he's going to find me. They know it.
Yeah.
And there's so they keep moving.
There's such a connection between the three of them. It's incredible. It's quite literally poetry in motion. Just watching the three of them play together they're doing so much stuff off script because they're all so incredibly talented. But at some point, it's going to catch up to them at some point.
All right. A couple of last thoughts about that game. I know Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. I thought he looked good the whole game. They kept up. I mean, the Browns were ahead, but I think they got too comfortable. To be honest, I think they just got way too comfortable. I think that when they went up 29-20, they're like, yeah, we got this. You know, they're just so excited to be up 9 on the Chiefs. They're just like, you know, yeah. like they're just, we're going to the Super Bowl. Who cares if we win this game anymore? But we'll see them again, no matter what, man. Look at this game. We got these guys. He's going to do what he's going to do, man. you can't let off the brakes against these guys. You cannot, because it took one play, bro. One play. It was 29-27. And then you're like, uh-oh. And then you start feeling it. And then you start feeling the pressure.
They're no joke there at Arrowhead Stadium, man. If they smell any blood, they're going to attack.
Yeah, and then it just starts rolling down from there, bro. And the next thing you know, you're losing. And that's basically how they roll you sometimes. And, you know, I'll talk about Baker Mayfield real quick. I thought he played really well in the first half. I thought he looked as sharp as he always does. And he was hitting some throws. I mean, he had a couple throws even late into that fourth quarter. But he has, over the summer, Chris, you know, QB wins is a thing. You know, we talk about quarterback wins. People, you know, they get into it. And but I became a big fan of quarterback comeback wins. I think there's something to that. I think there's something to that. Like every Hall of Fame, like every like great quarterback you could think of has more than 40 or at least more than 35, except your boy Aaron. But it's a different story. But
Don't remind me.
But you know,
I had to throw that jab.
Yeah, I did. But it's just something to that to me. And, you know, Baker Mayfield has like won in like the past 3 seasons, you know, and it came to a point where he had to be great. Right. He had to be great. And he threw an interception, a dumb one, like a terrible one. Like he had no, like, bro, it's second down. You know what I mean? You had no, like, you know, no business doing that. You know what I mean? And then I think back, like, I don't even remember any comebacks he had at Oklahoma. Remember any comebacks he had at Oklahoma?
They were never behind.
Exactly. And I think that is a thing. I really feel because if Baker Mayfield was really the top 10 quarterback that all his little fans, you talk to Browns fans, he's top 5, yada, yada. If he's really that guy, bro, you go down the field and you score. And then maybe Mahomes goes down and beats you. That's fair. But, bro, you go down and you score.
You did your part. Yeah, yeah.
There's something to it. I don't know. That was my critique because it came back on him. And then I went and looked up his comeback wins. He has like 7 in 4 seasons. So that tells you.
Interesting.
And he had one last year against the Bengals. So.
Interesting.
It's something to it. I'm just saying. I mean, if you need that big drive, you depend on Baker Mayfield. I don't know. That's all I'm saying.
Interesting. Interesting thought there, Marcus. That's a good hashtag. We'll see. First regular season hashtag. We'll see. Nicely done.
We'll see. All right. Any other thoughts, Chris, before we get out of here? You know, talk about Kyler Murray's overrated game, or are you just kidding?
No, I'm not even going to talk about that. That goes right in the garbage for Tennessee, just like the Packers game goes in the garbage. There were a few teams that really laid an egg.
Let's talk about Tennessee real quick before we get out of here. I think they hired Todd Downing, which, who almost ruined Derek Carr's career. Now that I saw how they looked week one, how he had Julio Jones and A.J. Brown and they couldn't get a first down, I'm like, oh, my God, this guy almost ruined Derek Carr. Like, this is literally the guy, you know, and, you know, started all his narratives about him. Like, he doesn't throw to Mari Cooper. Well, are we going to decide that Ryan Tannehill doesn't throw to Julio Jones now? Or is that – I mean – maybe it's the coordinator at this point. So, and you know how much they ran play action? last week, Chris? 7% of the time with Ryan Tannehill, who has been thriving for 2 years off of 36% play action, or almost 40%.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, they could not. They couldn't get Derrick Henry going either.
You can't have Ryan Tannehill in a dropback offense, bro. You can't. You can't have him sitting there reading. That's why he's in game. That's why Chandler Jones has like 7 sacks, because you know he's
5. He got 5.
You know what I mean? Because Ryan Tannehill, every time, if you go look up his stats, bro, he used to get sacked like 40 times a year in Miami, and it's because always make fun of him. He's like a dial 56 processor when he's reading the field, and that's it's good. And you put him in a crappy offense, he's gonna get sacked like 80 times this year. It's bound to happen. He's gonna go right back there being Ryan Tannehill because he doesn't have the protection of the play action, and you know you get the running game going, and people are gonna be killing him in about 5 weeks. I bet
it's gonna be really interesting to see what happens with that offense, because there is no excuse,
because their defense is bad, bro.
Their defense is bad. That offense has to stay on the field. They have to stay on the field. By the way, we'll take the over Seattle and Tennessee this week. Take the over.
Yeah, well, I think Seattle's gonna murder them.
I think you're gonna see Tennessee put more points up than they did last week. But
see, bro, I just could never figure out how you had Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree and Jared Cook, and you averaged like 18 points a game and couldn't move the football. And then we saw it kind of. So I don't know, man. I don't know, bro. It's just, I feel bad for Ryan. He's probably going to get another payday or something. He thought he's going to be like, hey, man, I'm a playoff quarterback in the playoffs. You know, now he's about to. If they go like 4-13, bro, with Julio Jones and AJ Brown, because they have a bad offense. Oh, no,
that'll be a disaster.
Because the defense that'll is bad enough bad. For that to happen, though. If they're bad on offense, the defense is bad enough for that to happen. So
that would be insane.
All right. I think that's it.
I do want to say one thing.
Go ahead.
I'm nervous for tomorrow night's game, Arizona State at BYU.
Me too, bro. Me too.
I love they're going to be rocking the black uniform. It's going to look really good. No, that's in BYU. They're doing a whiteout for the game. So Arizona State -4. They didn't cover in either of the first two games of the season. They had like, it was like -31 and -44. Like the numbers were astronomical.
That's why I don't bet on college football, bro. I can't.
No.
That's the spreads are too crazy. That's too much of a window.
Way too much of a window. So stayed away from those. But they're minus, like they're favored going in.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So I'm nervous. It's on ESPN. I will be watching. So, go Devils.
Go Devils. Forks up, guys. All right. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Go ahead and make sure you follow us everywhere. First subscribe, download on Spotify, subscribe on iTunes, follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1. Follow us on Instagram, ALPA_QB1. Follow me and Chris there too on Twitter, at the Mark John NFL for me, at King Manelos for Chris. Make sure you go ahead and like us on Facebook too, A Little Pocket Awareness, and check us out everywhere. All right. See you guys next week.